here, the room of my prizes. These are the monsters of the Haunted Mansion.
Okay, question? Yeah, go ahead. Sure. She's shocked that I picked her.
No.
She's like in a state of shock.
I'm not thinking, Mr.
That's
President.
Okay. I know you're not thinking. You never do.
I'm sorry?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Mr. President, are you worried about indictments coming down in this investigation? Mr. President.
I'll tell you what, CNN should be ashamed of itself having you working for them. You are a rude, terrible person. You shouldn't be working for CNN. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Jim. In Jim's defense, I've traveled with him and watched him. He's a diligent reporter who busts his
butt. Well, I'm not a big fan of yours either, so.
I understand.
To be honest.
So let me ask you a question if I can.
You are the best.
Mr. President, you repeatedly, over the course
okay,
of.
Okay, just sit down, please. Well, when you report fake news, no. When you report fake news, which CNN does a lot, you are the enemy of the people. Go ahead.
Mr. President, over the course of the last several days of the campaign, sir, at the end of the campaign, you repeatedly said that Americans need to fear Democrats. You said it would unleash a wave of violent crime that endangers families everywhere. Why are you
because
pitting
they're very
Americans?
Weak on crime.
Why
Excuse
are you
me.
Pitting why
Excuse
are you pitting Americans Peter. Against one another, sir?
Peter, are you trying to be him?
No,
Peter,
I'm just asking
the
question.
Let me just tell you. Very simple. Because they're very weak on crime.
On Friday, President Donald Trump is expected to speak at Benedict College to deliver the keynote address at the Second Step Presidential Forum. Benedict College President Dr. Rosalind Artis says the event is all weekend long. It will also feature most of the Democratic candidates running for president.
We'll give the students an opportunity to hear the platform as it relates to criminal justice reform from each of the candidates individually. They will be able to ask questions on the issue of criminal justice reform and receive the answers to their questions so they can make an informed decision in this election cycle.
While the president's visit is not a campaign event, all of the confirmed speakers are presidential candidates. As of today, 10 Democratic candidates are scheduled to speak at the forum this weekend. On Saturday, the speakers will be Representative John Delaney, Senator Cory Booker, and Mayor Pete Buttigieg, followed by Senators Kamala Harris, Bernie Sanders, and Amy Klobuchar.
Now, in case you're wondering, this is not a free event. Tickets are being sold online through the 2020 Club website. If you were hoping to see the president, though, speak in person, you're out of luck. Tickets for Friday are sold out. They're no longer listed on the ticket site. There are, though, still tickets available for the rest of the forum. Tickets are $40 each and are sold per candidate's time slot. Each candidate is scheduled to speak for roughly 45 minutes.
The 2020 Bipartisan Justice Center describes itself as a nationwide coalition of Black Republicans, Democrats, and independents that are focused on criminal justice reform. The group says that their mission is to empower local leaders to implement innovative and practical solutions to problems in the criminal justice system. The center's leadership is spread nationwide.
All right, y'all. Let's talk about Lord have mercy, Donald Trump. I'm going to get to the booze in a second that took place at the World Series. But first off, y'all, on Friday, this weekend, that was a forum that took place on the campus of Benedict College in Columbia, South Carolina. It was the 2020 Bipartisan Justice Center. The whole goal was to talk about criminal justice reform. It was a presidential forum. 10 Democratic candidates were invited. Then Donald Trump also was invited. But things begin to change because Trump goes there and he doesn't take questions. He gives a speech. Then he gets awarded by the 2020 Justice Center, was ticked off a whole lot of people. They're trying to figure out what in the hell is going on.
Radio, DJ.
One nation, one station.
Hello, hello, guys. Happy Halloween from your host, Valerie Denise Jones. Right now, you are locked into the Judge Jerome Show after party. We got a lot of tricks and treats up our sleeves today. So, hey, big shout out to all of our Trump supporters, Black Republicans, and everybody down in the comment section. We love you to life when you share your thoughts. Oh my God, this was a great show. So enjoy this previously recorded live broadcast. And yeah, definitely got to give a shout out to our panel before I go. Kingface, actor Isaiah Washington, Dr. Randy Short, Paul McKinley, Reverend Joseph Green, Bishop Gerald Scott, Deborah White, Philo the Great, and Judge Sharon. I hope you enjoy this broadcast.
I would like to just piggyback off both of your sentiments, and I agree 100%. And one of the things that they have been so good at, the liberals, is this bait and switch. And so just like this event in South Carolina, what they did was they continue to say they're going to boycott President Trump or not participate or not sit down and have meetings with him. And then on the other end, they will try to tout him not doing anything for the community. The other thing that I saw that was really disingenuous is when Obama was president and he really didn't do much for African Americans. That wasn't his focus. We know he looked out more for LGBTQ and, illegals, undocumented people. Yeah, mm-hmm. he looked out for them. That was his priority. And then when that happens and you bring that to the attention, then people say, oh, he was just the president. He, you know, they fought him tooth and nail. You know, he couldn't just look out for black folks. But now when Trump is president, all of a sudden he has this sovereign supreme power where he can control everything, you know, and, Obama could have done more and he didn't. And so now Trump is actually doing things that Obama could have done for the black community. But because of this bait and switch, you know, our black leaders are saying they're not going to participate. They're not going to be a part of what he's doing. And even though he's pushing forward and then, you know, like in South Carolina, they get to a place where they say it's horrible for him to even come to HBCU. So he's reaching out to HBCUs. I've been on conference calls. They said Obama in 8 years didn't meet with HBCU presidents. Trump has done it twice. You know, these opportunity zones are helping HBCUs, even the ones that were hit by Hurricane Katrina. They have something in place that's helping them with the debt that was incurred through Katrina. And even these opportunity zones are giving them the ability to gain resources and wealth. But then when he does that, they say, oh, it's terrible for him to even have the audacity to show up at HBCU. So it's a classic bait and switch. And we as black people have to get to the place where we are more focused on the principles and the platforms that will help our community. And we have to look across out of this whole liberal plantation to say, whoever it is that has policies in place that will help us, that's who we're going to support. And we don't care if it's an R or a D or if they're white or black or whatever. And like the bishop said originally, you know, we've tried the liberals for 50 years now and they've come up wanting, you know, that experiment is over and we've realized that they failed. And so now it's time for us to be more open-minded and
they
get out of our feelings and our emotions.
They did that on purpose to us. They deliberately came to destroy. Don't call it failure. No, that's no failure. Hitler didn't fail. He meant to do genocide on the Jews. They mean to wipe us out. There's no failure. There's no failure.
They keep us dependent on them, right? Keep us dependent on them. So, yeah, so I'm 100%
one thing. This is Bishop Scott. Hello? Hello? I just wanted to add one point to it. And I was looking, you know, I was preparing somewhat for this program today. And it says that historically, even George W. Bush did more for historically black colleges than did Obama. When George W. Bush gave $85 million towards black schools, Obama in his first administration took that away. And then we look at Donald Trump. I'm not a big fan of Donald Trump in so many areas, healthcare and other things. But in this area, I mean, I give anyone credit for what they're doing that's positive. And let me say this, that Trump not only helps black colleges, but he's one of the first ones that actually is trying to offer help to black colleges with religious affiliations. And you know many our colleges, like Morehouse, like Payne, and others, are really black, have begun their history as black schools, in particular AME schools and Baptist schools. And so he's not only endorsing and supporting colleges that are black, secular colleges, but he's also wanted to help those that have religious affiliations as well. Now, I don't know anybody, and particularly in the Democratic Party, that even considers helping religious organizations at all, really. I mean, they're almost becoming atheistic in a sense. They certainly are agnostic. The leadership is, anyway. You know, but Trump has really reached out to the faith community as a whole And you have to look at that. I mean, you know, yeah, there's issues. There's issues I'm sure all of us have with Donald Trump. There's issues I have with Barack Obama. I mean, there's issues I've had with Clinton. There's issues I've had with all of them in one level or another. But you have to give credit where credit is due. And in this regard, he has been a champion for those persons who want to, who are of African-American descent, who want to better their education, go on to universities and colleges throughout this country. He's made it easier. He's given more help, more support in doing that. And so with that in mind, I say kudos in that area.
And I want to, I just have to say this, that Barack Obama is the biggest racist that has ever been inflicted on black people on a global basis in 500 years.
That's
I don't
right.
care who doesn't like it. I don't care who doesn't like it. I went to Harvard with Obama. I know that Obama told white people he hated black people's guts, and they could trust him to punish black people, and he knew how to do it. He did that at the law review at Harvard, and he did it as president of this country.
And he done it
in
Chicago.
And I have a prayer to God. God, let me be like Samson and knock down this Democratic Party that's destroyed my people. I can die happy if I destroy this thing. I look at the drugs. I look at the ruined lives. I look at the radical lesbian feminism that's made black women into a parody of what they used to be. I look at how it's made black men all want to be RuPaul or what's that woman that Tyler Perry plays, Madea. When I look at what they've done to us, how they've run the black churches out of the city, how they've run the black businesses out, how they've given money to illegals and starved us, how they can teach phonics to other people to learn how to read and our kids can't have it. I live in D.C., and I'm living in Baltimore, and they're about the same. The blacks are oppressed by the Democratic Party. It is the party of black genocide by stealth, through abortion, through mass incarceration, through the sodomite industrial complex. Do you know that in the schools that our kids are in, they're forcing them to learn all this filthy sexual stuff, and you can't even talk to them? The only person that said, hey, look, let's offer counseling to these children so they don't have confusion about their sex, is Betsy DeVos, as much as I can't stand her most of the time. Y'all don't know that. So let me say this. We have an HIV/AIDS epidemic in this country. We have a septicemia epidemic in this country. It is disproportionately killing black men and black women, and the Democratic Congressional Black Caucus with the gay community, with the so-called civil rights community, is allowing our people by the tens, if not hundreds of thousands, to get infected and ultimately die. And this is what the Democratic Party has brought to us. It's nothing but death, divorce, disease, abortion, marginalization, gentrification, and ultimately our extermination in this country.
Yes.
And they've used crooked Negro preachers, crooked so-called community leaders, crooked and a filthy, degenerate entertainment culture and a sports culture. This is all they've done. They won't rest until every black baby's guts run down the sewer, until those of us are poisoned by the lead in the water, lead in the air, the chemtrails and all the stuff they've done to us, all the wars that they keep having, all the pedophilia that they're systematically putting through our schools. They're handing our children over to white sodomites to rape them and then tell them, you were born this way, and put them out in the street. And if you even say, brother or sister, Jesus is love, you'll be the person that's a bigot, not the rapist, not the pedophile, not the molester, but the people who stand up for the principles and the values of our people. We're being criminalized by the Democratic Party.
Absolutely.
Well said, well said.
Let me give you a little background on President Obama and the Democratic Party. We just voted in a Democratic governor. The very first thing he did was to sign an executive order so a woman can have an abortion in 8 months. The second thing he did was to push marijuana to be sold in all of our communities. But he did not want to free everybody that had been convicted of selling marijuana and get it off their record. If it's legal, then everybody should go home. It don't matter about what ex post facto means. That was back then. What's happening now? Let our people go. Second of all, after he got in there, the next thing he did was to have casinos, pass a law for casinos in our community. The Democratic Party is not trying to let our people recover from the crack epidemic.
That's right. And brother, they're trying to push for legalized prostitution all over the country, which would be a form of sexual slavery for black women and boys and men. And they put tens of millions of dollars behind Black Lives Matter, Black Youth 100, the NAACP, and others want to make our people sexual slaves who will die from venereal disease and drug addiction. This is what they're calling economic growth, and they want casinos in D.C. too. So they want to have people where you can adopt 7 or 10 children, and when they're 13 or 14 or 15, you can prepare them legally if they get to have Border Devil, and you can have your own little prostitution chicken farm. This is what they call economic growth. This is insane. They want to reduce the gay agenda. They want to get rid of the age of consent laws. You forget Nancy Pelosi's brother, Roosevelt D'Alessandro, 50, 60 years ago, this year, 61 years ago, gang raped 2 girls, 2 babies. With 14 other people from leading families in Baltimore, and they got off using the mafia. This is a woman who put this Gay Equality Act that got it through the Congress, and every single solitary black member of the House of Representatives either co-sponsored the bill or voted for black people to be replaced with necrophiliacs and pedophilia and people who want to have sex with animals. This is what they have done.
You want to know the sad thing about this, though? Is that when you play this, many of our black or African-American people are not going to believe anything that we're saying because they won't go do the research. They won't check it out. They believe everything the Democratic Party tells them without question. That bothers me.
They can't be helped. So they'll be in Jonestown like the other 1,000 black people that got killed down in Georgetown, Guyana, by the pedophile, homosexual, drug-addicted, communist, de facto leader of the Democratic Party of California, who helped make the career of Nancy Pelosi and Feinstein and Boxer, and all of that came in through the People's Temple. It was a mega church used to enslave black people. It was an experiment, and obviously they learned if you push a filth and sexual degradation and gayness and make it cool and put it within a thing of the Democratic Party, you could get black folks to even forget that they've been mass murdered.
My name is Lambert, and I hope that I don't have any noise in my background. Can you hear me, Valerie?
Yes, sir. I can hear you loud and clear. Thank you for that.
Oh, okay. Now, I'm hoping that I don't get interrupted because one thing about me, I value time. And so I'm asking for 2 minutes. So I would hope no one would interrupt me because I've been listening. And as I listen, first of all, I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. I'm a black man living in America who knows who he is. And when I hear people say in one paragraph, because I've heard that in this conversation, 1 minute you're calling our people African American. Next two sentences later, you're calling them black people. See, that's confused to me. There's no such thing as both. It seems one or the other. Okay, that's number one. Number two, when I hear black people talk about one party only, that gives a pass to the other people that run the Republican Party. See, you have to remember that the people that are Republicans now, they used to be Democrats, but they switched because of the area and the direction they went. So while black people are arguing with each other on who's mistreating black people the worst, we're all in the same boat. And at the same time, when you start talking about what they call secret societies, there are places that are called, it's one out there at Harvard and all up in there, called Crossbones and Skulls. They also have one in California called the Bohemian Grove. You ought to study. Both parties are in there doing ungodly acts, including Ronald Reagan, including Obama, including Clinton. All of them are in there, and they're cross-dressing in the Bohemian Grove. Look it up. So I think we need to spend less time on who's mistreating black people and unite, unless we're still suffering from the Willie Lynch syndrome. That's what I have to say.
Can I address the gentleman?
I'm sorry. I'd really like to address your first statement about African American and black, because that was me who brought that out. I used the term African American, I used the term black, and I also used the term American Aboriginal. That bothers me far more than it bothers you, this African American and black thing, because they have put two things together. They have put African American descendants of slaves, who actually there are those who came here in slave ships and were enslaved. But they're also putting together, they're also adding in my people, who are the Aboriginal people of this continent. I come from a Choctaw nation. And those people that they brought in who claim to be Native American are not the American Indian. So I use both because both are on this continent. The African American descendants of slaves is more in tune with the Democratic Party because the Democratic Party placates their idea to go back to Africa and think that I'm going back with them. And I'm not, because this is my continent and this is my land. That's number one.
Okay.
Number two, when we talk about the Bohemian Grove, the Bohemian Grove is something that our people are just now becoming aware of. The Bohemian Grove, you can't even become president unless you're initiated in the Bohemian Grove. Donald Trump, as I have heard, is the first president to say, I won't be a part of it. So I have done the research on the Bohemian Grove.
Let me comment now that you mentioned that. First of all, an African-American to me, as a person who's traveled abroad, lived internationally personally in the 70s and 80s, for what I see, I would call an African-American a person who comes over here from Africa and is allowed to become an American citizen by taking that brainwash test. Now, that's an African-American to me. Now, when I hear people talking about Aboriginal and things like that,
Your opinion is one thing. Law is something else. African American by law is someone who came over here on a slave ship and is an immigrant.
Why do you call black people African American and black people in the same sentence?
Wait a minute, why do you call yourself a black Republican? Wait a minute, man. Didn't nobody interrupt you?
No, what it is
I've already been interrupted. I wasn't finished. She addressed me.
Irrelevant.
You said,
These are misguided Negroes who think they're going to be accepted by the Republican Party. You're going to be a nigger to them no matter what you call yourself.
But wait a minute. We're not going to digress.
So I'm not going to say anything else, Valerie. I'll go on mute.
Ma'am, brother, ma'am.
I am what my parents have told me.
We're not going to digress. We're not going to take the subject matter and digress.
Part of what this gentleman's doing is he's distracting from the actual topic. He's distracting from the topic because at the end of the day, let me interject, please.
Look how they stumble over each other to talk.
Okay, but let me say something. When you was talking, did nobody interrupt you? You got your
I'm all ears, brother. I'm all ears.
Okay,
go ahead.
Thank you very much. You interrupted me now. I don't need you to say that.
But go ahead and talk.
But let me say, Pamela, when you talk, did nobody interrupt you? I don't need you to respond to what I'm saying. It ain't warranted. I just want to say what I got to say.
I'm all ears.
Our people got a whole lot of issues. A whole lot of issues. And our people got a whole lot of opinions and a lot of ideas and understanding. Some do, some don't. About who we is, where we come from, back to Africa, stay in America, all kind of things. But our people got one problem, and that's the American system, United States system. That's what our people got a problem with. And for the last 50 years, the only reason we're talking about the Democratic Party, for the last 50 years, we've been underneath the Democratic Party. Nobody's saying that the Republican Party is going to save us, that we're going to all go to heaven in a little rowboat. But I've always noticed about this. See, because I've been to the penitentiary. I've always noticed about this. You are the company that you keep. Some people are drawn by all this stuff that we talk about. Some people want to go in there and get an abortion at 8 months. I'm talking about our people. Some people want to go and just let me finish. Some people want to indulge in all that gay democracy. Mm-hmm. Some people want to be drunk. Some people want to be misused. The Democratic Party for the last 50 years done this to us. That's without any doubt. We ain't no Republicans because there ain't enough black folks to say that we can make a Republican in president. We can't say that because most of our people going in the wrong way. But I got an issue with black folks want to find everything wrong with each other or what we saying or how we talking to each other. We can find everything wrong with each other, but we can't find nothing wrong with white folks.
Agreed.
That's really what conversation we're talking about white folks. That's what we're talking about. Now, you didn't like black folks. You didn't like Africans. You didn't like Africans. Okay, fine. We're talking about white folks. That's what we're talking about. White folks are telling black folks to be a fool and keep being a fool. That's what we're talking about right now. Now I'm gonna bag up off the phone. Now come back with an answer and tell us what we should do. Just talk about white folks. Don't talk about no more black folks.
Since you asked me to come back.
I issue with white folks.
I'll respond to that. And like I said, I value time, so I won't.
If you're gonna let me respond, you can't stand up against white folks. You can't.
Let me respond to that.
Because I'm a man. I'm a black man, and whatever kind of other man you want to call me, I talk back to white folk and get out on them, too. So as long as we on this conversation, let's talk about them white folk. And if you ain't trying to talk about what them white folk doing to us, man, please stay up off the phone, man.
Okay, I can respond.
No personal hatred toward black folk.
I love black people.
That personal hatred for black folks, so we talk about them white folks. That's what you're upset about.
Well, no, not really.
With the Democratic Party. You ain't got no problem with the white folks doing us.
Well, first of all, you've never met me, so you can't assume what I am. That's number one.
I heard you were saying to the young lady, and I heard you were saying to the whole crowd.
Let me finish.
You don't want to have to send us talking back to white folks. You don't want to have some problem with it.
No, I don't have a problem with it at all. As a matter of fact,
get on board then. You ain't got no problem. Get on board then with a player. Get on board.
Well, Well, first of all, there's somebody that's more qualified than me to talk about white folks, and he's doing a great job, and his name is Louis Farrakhan.
We talking about you, though.
Well, I can speak for me if you let me. If you let me finish, I can speak for me.
I want to hear what you got to say. Don't tell me about nobody else. What you got to say?
Well, I can't talk over you.
Gentlemen, this is Bishop Skye.
No, you don't have to give me anything. I'm just saying I wasn't finished.
I know you're not finished. Keep going.
Well, if you know I'm not finished, you shouldn't interrupt me.
Be quiet, sir. I'll cut you off, all right? Now, be polite. I'm trying to interject something. What I'm going to point out to you is...
Did you tell a grown man to be quiet?
Cut him off.
No, I'll be quiet, Valerie, as you put it.
Valerie, cut him off. Valerie? Hey, Valerie.
Yes, sir. I'm listening.
Cut him off.
All right. So, as promised, we got Kingface in the building. Beautiful spirit, beautiful person. Can't wait to talk to him. Can't wait to introduce you guys to him. And like I said, to set the tone, what we're going to do right now is we're going to play a little audio clip, open his mic, invite him in, give him a few secs to share with us what he is about.
This is what racists do. This is the new era of racism. I need that racism. I like it. If that's racist, let me get more of that.
African Americans built this nation. You were such a massive part of it. Bigger than you were given credit for. Does that make sense?
You're 100% for Trump?
150,000%.
Damn, all right, nigga. The president continues to believe, against all the evidence, that there were very fine people on both sides of the alt-right neo-Nazi white supremacist Unite the Right rally that took place in Charlottesville, Virginia, 2 summers ago.
You're changing history, you're changing culture, and you had people, and I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists, because they should be condemned totally.
So at this time, King, what I would love to do is give you an opportunity to introduce yourself to our listening audience. And also, if you could just share with us just a little bit the audio clip that I just played.
Hey, how are you? This is King Faze, the Conservative Thumb. The audio you were listening to there was a video that I made in support of Donald Trump, you know, despite that, you know, they're saying that he doesn't support, or he doesn't do anything for the black community, or the black community doesn't support him. So I wanted to kind of put something together that shows that we do support him 150,000%.
Okay. All right. So when I looked something up, Trump supporter, because I had to actually do a lot of homework here, and the Urban Dictionary takes it a totally different direction. The worst description of a Trump supporter that I found was that they are mostly white, poorly educated whiners who are too lazy and stupid to get ahead. They always blame marginalized groups, Mexicans, for their lousy breaks. Also, Trump supporters get their dubious information from Fox News, InfoWars, and Breitbart, and demand that legitimate journalists are sent to jail. What say you to such a stupid definition of a real Trump supporter?
I mean, that's the most ignorant thing I've ever actually heard in my life, that Trump supporters are just dumb white people. I mean, I haven't met a dumb white person that was a Trump supporter yet. So if they do exist, I haven't seen them. And it's definitely not true, because there's Trump supporters in every color, every sex, every religion supports Donald Trump. So that's definitely a falsehood. So, stuff like that is sad that they would even be able to poke something like that up that's completely false. And if that's the case, I mean, the left always blaming an old white man for their issues. They always blaming somebody. I think the proof is more on our end than on theirs. They seem more like the complainers, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm. Now, I polled a few people because, yeah, there are quite a few people who are very, very excited that you're here. So thank you again, and another big shout-out to Isaiah. And I asked them, you know, what is your definition of a black Republican?
You mean as in the sense of, I'm sorry to cut you off, you mean as in the sense of how do I define being a black Republican?
Yeah, what is a black Republican? And also, do you have any notes for us? Like, because there are a lot of people who think that blacks should be Democrats. And do you have anything you'd like to say to include the definition, a definition of?
I mean, American. I think we don't need to make it everything about color. I think a black conservative is just a proud American that wants the same thing that everybody else wants. You know, we want less government. You know, we believe in God and we believe in family. So, you know, I think everybody, in a sense, is a Republican, you know, more than anything. But as for black people being Democrats, I mean, think about it. How could you have elected people for the last over 100 years and got nothing from it? And yet you're still supporting that. That to me just doesn't make logical sense. That's like the definition of insanity. They should put that definition in there. Because why would you keep voting for people that haven't done nothing for the black community? I mean, if somebody could name something that they've done that really affected the black community and helped us in our economic growth or our education, then I would love to see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the only reason I defined it is most of the people I talked to didn't think the two were synonymous. Like, they were like, there are no black Republicans. If they are, they're coons, they're sellouts, you know, they're fake Trump supporters, blah, blah, blah. So that's why I asked you that question.
I mean, the original black people that worked for the government were black Republicans, the original Congress members. So I don't know why they would say that. That's our origin. That's why I support the LRA movement as well, because it's about our origin, where we came from. So I don't understand that concept at all.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I appreciate you for that. At this time, what I'd like to do is move it forward and bring in actor Isaiah Washington, who is an American actor who appeared in Spike Lee's films Crooklyn, Clockwork, Girl 6, Get on the Bus, and many, many more. And, yeah, guys, let's just go on and do it because the time is flying by. It's 4:15. Again, big shout-out to everybody on the board. We love you guys to life. I want to hurry because I want to bring in the judge here in a few secs. All right, so welcome, 323-804. Welcome. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, Valerie. How you doing, King Face?
What's going on, Big Bro? How are you?
Yes. Please project, because I can barely hear you. I want to make sure we hear every word.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, much better. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. So how's your energy today? How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. Fantastic. Just got back on Twitter last night. I've been taking a break. I was mourning on my good friend and mentor, Diane Carroll, and getting some other thoughts together about, you know, I like to be able to have something to say, you know, on Twitter, particularly to the new 85,000 MAGA supporters that I've picked up in the last 6 months. So, you know, I like to try to be authentic in what I'm a tweet, so it doesn't appear that I have a scripted set of tweets I'm going to put out there just to throw out red meat. I try to tweet like I've always tweeted since 2011, my thoughts, my personal thoughts. You know, it's my account. And thank God through the First Amendment, you know, I have the right to do so. And pretty much what I tweeted back in April 1st when I was at the White House celebrating the First Step Act, that got to the attention of Fox News and pretty much put me on this trajectory in this conservative space. And I wasn't really sure exactly what a conservative was. A lot of people still have degrees of it. I think I've always considered myself a centrist with conservative leaning, right, centrist right, so to speak. But now, as I'm starting to see what's happening in society, as I get older, when you become a father, you become more and more conservative. You start thinking more and more about the future and their lives and how you want to have things put in space in place for them, so they can have a piece of that, what we call that American pie, right? But it's always been about hard work for me. I don't understand people that are expecting things that they don't work for, or expecting to get things out of the government that they haven't put in the government. If you don't pay your taxes, you don't have a job where you can have your taxes taken out, FICA and unemployment to help people who obviously fall in dire straits. You know, everybody that need help in America aren't necessarily looking for a handout. They're looking for a leg up. Most people, average American, are pretty self-reliant and pretty proud people. That's the basis of the home and the brave and, you know, and the free, is that although this experiment called the United States of America is still evolving, we've come a long way. Do we still have problems? Absolutely. Are we going to have problems 100 years from now? Absolutely. But my goal at 56 years of my life is to reach out and help those who are helping themselves. I get very energized and very excited about people who are self-reliant, that don't want a handout but want a leg up. I'm always interested in putting my two hands together and help you get over the wall, as opposed to just having you sit at the wall and, you know, give you the fish. I want you to learn how to fish. You know, I've always been that way. African Americans have always been conservative, just by our very nature. We relied heavily on our religiosity to survive during chattel slavery, during Jim Crow, through the redlining, peonage era. We're survivors. And inside of that, speaking to more and more conservatives who are non-black, Latino, gay, white, rural, they all have special needs that they are concerned about. Everybody pretty much wants to be able to have shelter, be able to provide for their families, have a job. Everybody can't have a career. Some people go their whole lives and probably never even see $100,000 their whole life. I know that's kind of hard to believe, but it's a fact, let alone $1 million. Which actually is not a lot of money after taxes. So, you know, I feel like I have more in common with conservatives now than I ever did. And because I'm a fighter, I'm not too keen on bullies. I'm not too keen on people telling me what I can and can't do. The more you tell me or hold me down or hit me over the head, I'm kind of like a whack-a-mole. I'm the little weasel that'll pop up. You hit me in the head someplace, I'll pop up somewhere else. And I've always been that way, is that I've never taken racism and bigotry as a weight. It exists, but it's never stopped me. So I literally don't understand those that are crying foul when their lives have been good. I've traveled the world, particularly West Africa, Jamaica, Philippines, Korea, Japan, Turkey, France. I've been through the bowels of London, Brixton, where people are struggling and still treated poorly. And I can tell you, they don't have Starbucks and 7-Eleven on every other corner. They don't have a Kentucky Fried Chicken or Burger King or McDonald's, okay? And it's not that bad in America like people want to say, particularly the mainstream media want to continue to tell, particularly black folk, every 4 years, you know, it's fear, racism, hatred, fear, racism, hatred, you know? I think the average 30-something in America, when they realize shit is tough, though, they didn't plan well or they didn't do what they were supposed to do in school, and they get down and they can't compete. I believe all isms, particularly racism, falls in the fact that people, non-black and black, fall on that when they can't compete. So if you can't compete, then you're going to be mad. If you get your bills paid, you're going to be mad. But this idea that the country and people have got to give you something because you're mad. Nah, that's deplorable. You know, that's not what the American independence is about. So I'm a fighter. It's in my DNA. My ancestry goes back to the Amistad, the many people who tried to turn the Amistad around. So I've always been about fighting injustice wherever it is, since I was 8 years old. And got even more on fighting injustice when I saw Roots, 1976. I've been talking about, you know, reparations and how we've been treated poorly in America for for a long time. But at the same time, I have to step back and look at, well, if America's so bad, how am I as successful as I am? Even with obstacles and recent transitions in my brand, how am I still making money? How am I still attracting people who want to make money? How am I still supporting people who are about being self-reliant and building their own empires? I think a lot of people get too caught up in wanting to sit at this at a real or perceived table as opposed to trying to build their own table. If I'm going to build my own table, it's my table. It's not your table. It's not King's Face table. It's not the judge table. It's my table. So I think it's really more sustaining to be about the substance of what it is you say you want and work for it. I can't imagine during 1854, when the Republican Party was created and Abraham Lincoln became the first Republican Party, it was all about being the opponents of the Kansas-Nebraska Act, which was allowed the potential expansion of slavery in certain territories here in the U.S., what's now called the United States. You know, the Republican Party supported liberalism, classical liberalism. It opposed the expansion of slavery. That was its core. It supported economic reform. All right? With the LRA, the Legacy Republican Alliance, that a political action committee that I helped found, is getting back to those principles. If you, with abolishing all forms of slavery in the 21st century, abolishing all forms of ignorance in the 21st century, abolishing all forms of poverty, which comes out of corruption, which is what Trump is taking on by himself with both parties, the Rhinos, the Republican parties, everybody that are comfortable becoming millionaires because they're lining their pockets through special interest groups and the establishment. Anybody's making over $5,000 a year, you're part of the 1%. So this idea that people who are Republicans have the bag, have all the money, is just not true. You got a lot of Republicans that are not from all socioeconomic backgrounds that are still struggling, working 2, 3, 4 jobs. But I find it interesting in the last 6 months that you got more liberals that have a whole lot to say about how people should spend their money or make their money, but yet they have no solutions or ideas on how to make money for themselves. So that level of liberal thinking is ridiculous to me. The average American that's probably going to a job today that's talking so much crap about Republicans, the conservatives are the ones that are going without, sleeping on air mattress, eating rice and beans every day to build their companies so they can employ people. So, yeah, we want less government. We want less taxation so we can take some of that money, hard-earned money, and bring it back into building our foundational wealth, our generational wealth. The average American believes what everyone before us believes is that, you know, with life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And with all of goddamn commercialism and capitalism, people want to think, every American thinks they're going to be a millionaire. And what I say to Republicans and young conservatives, particularly black ones, don't just stop at a million, shoot for 20 million because you got to pay taxes. So now you got 10 million. That's good. And something I got from King Face, he says, look, Isaiah, if I know 10 millionaires, and I need $10 million, and they both give me $1 million to do what I need to do, I got $10 million. That's how it should work. That's how it works in other communities, East Indian communities, the Latin Hispanic communities, Asian communities, because they know how to work together. They know how to stick together. Jewish community, whether they like and love each other, they know business. So people that are getting mad at conservatives because they're good at business, it's just ridiculous to me. Someone that hates somebody on how they make their money and you're not doing it in a way that you lose your integrity, your self-respect, or you're creating more damage to your people or your community than how you're making money, then you should be applauded. You know, you got King Face out here passionate, working hard to get the president reelected, to get people to understand, let's take a look at this conservatism. Let's take a look at the Republican Party. Because 50 years, we haven't seen the Democratic Party do anything but enrich themselves. How is it that Pelosi and the majority of over 436 or whatever it is, people in the House of Representatives, they're all millionaires. Most presidents that go in
go in with college debt. 3 years after that, they worth over $100, $200 million, every single president. We got one president for the first time who's gone in with whatever he has. I don't know how you can have $5 billion in the bank and be broke. How can you judge a man, say he had failed businesses when he's had businesses? And he's worked the system to understand how it's your right to file bankruptcy with that business. That's part of the system. I don't understand how people could be upset at how someone has figured out to make money. It's a capitalist nation. It's not a socialist nation. And if it is a socialist nation, Bernie Sanders, you're worth $3.5 million. Why aren't you giving that money away and making sure that everybody has just as much as you have? You know, it's the level of hypocrisy, it's laughable. It's laughable. You know, that is like, oh, okay, you no longer have power. That's what it's about. So it's never about the people. It hasn't been about the people of the Democratic Party for 50 years. They've always used us and abused us to get us upset with the so-called ignorant, racist, bigoted Republican. It's just not true. It's a lot. And I'm happy to be on the front line with my man King Face, another black conservative, and say, you know what, we're done with your line. You know, we're walking a different path. And that level of TDS, you know, is real. You know, when you just say the name Trump, people just lose their mind. Trump derangement syndrome is real. You know, you see a MAGA hat, people lose their minds, right, King Face?
Nah, they go crazy. They lose their minds, man. It's like, it's a hat, brother. It's just a hat. You know what I'm saying?
All right. I want to make sure we can hear you guys. There's a little fade, and that's why you're getting a little lower. So, Isaiah, I keep losing you just a little bit.
People can walk around with a Nike hat. We all know the sweatshops we have in America and the sweatshops we have in China. But ain't nobody trying to get cut loose to the brand. No disrespect to Adidas or British Nike or New Balance, but ain't nobody run out there spending thousands of dollars worth of money on those brands. All a brand is something that you feel good about. When you walk out, man, I feel good about that brand. You know? So what King Face is doing as a black man and a young black man under 40 is saying, you're not going to tell me to not feel good about this hashtag or feel good about this brand, LRA or MAGA or Blacksmith. I'm standing on principle to do for myself. And the fact that other people want to tear someone like King Face down, tear me down because we're tired of the do nothing, that really, not really do nothing. Actually, the Democratic Party has done too much. It's too much government telling us how we're going to get our health care, telling us how we're going to spend our money, telling how where the money's going to go. Yet they all are walking out trying to, you know, AOC is trying to get a raise already. Ain't been in there 2-3 years, and she already trying to get a bump. So don't tell me it's not about the money. Don't tell me it's not about capitalism. Don't tell me it's not about, you know, getting your wealth up. But when you do it on the backs of the people, you don't build anything. You know, it was an old joke somebody told me, the difference between China and African leaders, all right? The African leaders take their wealth, build themselves, and steal from people. They have dirt roads and potholes all over Nigeria, for example, for driving Lamborghini. So, you know, the president went to China, and he told him to walk out the window to look at the window. He said, what do you see? He says, I see a thriving city, clean water, clean streets, people with jobs, even though they have billions of people. I don't know what it's like to try to manage, 6 billion people? But everybody's not happy. Everybody's not going to be happy with their everyday life. So they're going to become problems. So they know how to deal with their people. You call it human rights issues, but they know how to deal with their people. Just like Trump knows how to deal with our people. He knows Americans. He's employed thousands. He knows how we think, how we move, and what needs to be done for us to basically get in line. That's the whole form of leadership. I can't let my children just do whatever they want to do, say whatever they want to say, and not give them any leadership and training. You can't stick that fork in that socket, right? You're going to shock yourself. You're going to kill yourself. If I don't make the difference of saying no to that, as opposed to saying, no, you can't have any more ice cream, those are two different kinds of no's. The vibration in those no's are not as heavy as the one that's going to save your life. And what I see right now, what King Face and all conservatives are doing is like, I'm trying to help you build something that's going to sustain and save your life. And the Democrats just have not done that. They'd rather put out the welfare, even though majority of Caucasians, because there's more Caucasians in America, are on welfare. But we need to be coming together to figure out how we're going to create more jobs at all levels. And that's what the man is doing. Anything this man does that's positive, particularly with the black agenda, no, you're not getting any reparations. That's going to be a hard sell. I understand that. But if he's going to get people out of prison, end the mass incarceration that was doubled down, started since the war on drugs in 1972 and then doubled down in 1994, the crime bill, will privatize prisons, okay? That's Corrections Corporate of America, ironically, Thurgood Marshall Jr. sits on that board and has enriched himself in imprisoning people because the public systems are falling apart. And that was by design. So now we're going to sit up here and say how effed up the black community is. That's Trump's fault. When that plan was put into action back in 1972 by a bunch of insecure and bigoted people that always say they were the majority, but do ultimately, eventually, by 2043, you're going to be the minority. But I believe there's a lot of conservatives that happen to be white that have an abolitionist spirit. And not only an abolitionist spirit, most of the ones that I talk to have a John Brown spirit. They want to smite out injustice, period. And they're willing to die for it through the blood of Christ. They're not interested in slavery because they figure if black people are doing bad, then they're going to be doing bad. Or they're going to have to put down somebody who has tried to steal for some survival crime. The majority of the people that are in prison were doing crimes because they were trying to survive, not because they're just, you know, aberrant, nasty, evil people. They're going where they can make the money. So you can't tell somebody that's feeding themselves selling crack, all right, because the educational system has failed them, that they're not going to make $5,000 a week. How are you going to tell them to go to McDonald's and get a job when they're making $5,000 a week with an eighth grade education? You're not.
Right. Mr. Washington, at this time, what we're going to do, so you can spend the next 30 minutes before we take a quick break and open up the lines so callers can engage. I'm going to bring in the judge so he can talk to you guys about what you're talking about. Yeah, definitely. All right, so welcome 323-646, the man of the hour, 323-646. Welcome, Judge. You are on the line with Faith and Mr. Washington.
The judge
hey,
is in the house.
What's going on, Judge?
All
going
right,
on, well, Judge?
Brother King Faith, Brother Washington. I'm an independent. I'll say this. Black people cannot afford to be loyal to any one party. We got our start as newly fledged citizens with the GOP circa the U.S. Civil War. There were some benefits that accrued in the 60s with the Johnson administration. A few things with Carter started going downhill from that. The Dixiecrats did leave the Democratic Party and went to the Republican Party late 60s, and that's been poison as far as black relations have been developing with the GOP. However, things have changed, and the Democratic Party has brought in what I call skittles, the LGBTQ feminist anti-masculine crowd. And this is probably because so many Democrats are in league with them. And they have become severely anti-masculine and anti-family. And that is not good for black people. And it's time that black citizens jumped off of that bandwagon and went somewhere else. And the GOP, if they're smart, would make the offer. As far as what I'm looking at is 4 more years for Trump, and I have not been dissatisfied with Mr. Trump in comparison to the last person we got in, which was a fake American black who has no black American ancestors. He's across, what is it, an Indo-rebel Keynesian with a little Bush Bunny Kenyan thrown in. I say that because we don't have any significant number of black Americans who have Kenyan ancestry. Ours come from the West Coast, not the East. But it's time we got something going for ourselves, and it's time we stop being so nice as to help everybody else out but us. So I can't in good conscience support anything that the Democratic Party is doing. I like Bernie Sanders, but they wouldn't have sense enough to nominate him. They'll probably get one of their little lackey running dogs that's got one foot out of the closet. That's their business, but I don't think that policy is good for the family, the next generation, or for society in general. So when they put themselves outside of their bedrooms and start getting into the business of setting social and political and economic policy, then they are just as open to being shoved back as the Democrats or the Republicans or Trump or Pelosi or whatever you have. So they're in this mix too. But I support what Mr. Trump has been doing. I look at the statistics, and I think the press wants to ignore them. It's the lowest black unemployment since the Johnson administration 50 years ago. It's the most money going to historically black colleges and universities since 50 years ago. This poisonous thing in the military about transvestites and transsexuals or whatever you call it is being reversed. It's no longer an issue of who gets to pee in the girls' bathroom, but some sanity interposing itself with the reality of boy and girl. We don't have people like the late deceased Representative Cummings, who needs a tombstone that says, "Rest in peace, here lies a good Negro. He was well-trained and a very important mascot for the Democratic Party." We don't need any more of those creatures. Don't speak evil of the dead, but when the dead are a historical character, you know, the ones that are still around can write the history, and I think the Democratic Party is stepping up to him real nicely with the eulogies they gave him today as their pet little house Negro, but that's another story. But we don't need anything more like this. We need to have black leadership, and the Democratic Party is not conducive to effective black leadership. The media is anti-black voices who don't fit in with their particular LGBT orientation. So the devil with it. I'm independent. Convince me. Tell me something that I need to know, need to hear, that would permit me in the ballot box to put in the right level.
I would like to say this. I have to disagree with you on the point of us not being loyal to a specific party. At the end of the day, nobody that is a part of the independent party has won presidency. So that means the power level for the independents is not there. So, and we definitely know that Democrats are definitely not supportive of what we have going on as a black community. So what's the next best option? It would be the Republican Party. That's why I support the LRA as well, because it's bringing
back.
Let
me say this. I'm not supporting. There's no independent party out there. They're the Greens and all of those nonsensical people.
That's my point. I'm just independent.
I don't support
any party.
That's my point. I'm saying we shouldn't support any party unless the party gives us something. No benefit, no vote. Now, if the Republican Party
I 100% agree.
Judge, if you said that, you're a man of words and a man of law. You said if the party gives us something, well, the Republican Party hasn't given black people anything in 50 years either.
No.
But I will say this, President Trump has given the black communities more than something. Done several things.
Oh, yes,
Hold on. What you said was, I'm not going to get behind any Republican Party or any party that has to give me something. So what you're saying then you should be okay to get behind Trump, which you say you are, because he has given the black community something.
These are all
foundational black Americans and ADOS talk about tangibles. But those are four four sets of tangibles that black people have received in America that we haven't received in 50 years.
We're always interested in what you have to say about our live broadcasts. Please share your comments on our Facebook page or websites.